Just kind of letting this play out. And we're a couple weeks away now from St. Patrick's Day. And that's kind of where this theme came from. We're also going to benefit a little bit from a luck of the Irish. We've got Dave O'Brien here in studio with us. Dave O'Brien joins us with the Chronicle Telegram on the local beat. And it's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. And when you head on down to Vandermark Jewelers, you're not going to need any luck of the Irish to get a great deal on whatever it is you're searching for, because Jim Vandermark, Bob Vandermark, the entire group down there will get you what you need, and you'll come away with a smile on your face. Vandermark Jewelers, right across from the hospital on Broad Street here in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Top of the morning to you there, Bull. That's my absolutely terrible Irish accent.
It works. I knew what you were
okay.
going for. Yeah.
You knew where I was going.
Yeah, I knew exactly where you were going with that. Well, we have a lot of topics to tackle today, and you know, you were very busy in the courtroom the past 6 or 7 days here. We also want to touch on one local topic. We'll do that towards the end before we dive into our scanner stories. But let's get into the details on the federal appeals court rulings in this ongoing case involving an Elyria man and 3 Elyria police officers. What's going on here?
So this is a case, I don't know if folks remember, about 3.5 years ago. There's a gentleman by the name of Cody Jones who was arrested, he said wrongfully, after police responded over on East River to report that there was a man digging through the trash, basically through a dumpster. They saw him. The 2 officers arrived. Nicholas Chalkley and Anthony Weber saw Mr. Jones hanging around the area, acting what they said was a little suspicious. And they said that he resisted arrest and that he was he was kicking and punching at them and wouldn't be handcuffed. And another officer, Paige Mitchell, arrived on the scene and held down Mr. Jones so that the other officers could handcuff him. He was tasered and he was charged with a few couple felonies and a couple misdemeanors. Well, he was acquitted at trial because basically the jury didn't buy the officer's stories about exactly what happened. So he filed suit in federal court, and now there was a ruling that was made by district court judge Gwynn, who basically said, I'm going to rule on some of the issues here, and I'm going to, excuse, some of the officers from certain liability or for certain, certain matters of the law. So that was a portion of that ruling was then appealed to the U.S. 6th District Court of Appeals, which is down in Cincinnati. So they came along and basically said, Officer Mitchell wasn't, how do I put this? Basically cleared her of wrongful arrest under both federal and state law, saying, she just kind of showed up after the fact, saw these officers struggling with somebody, and an officer who does that and sees, 2 other officers struggling with somebody can rightfully imagine that these officers need assistance. So she went over and was assisting, kind of cleared her of those charges, but then allowed some of the other charges, wrongful arrest, malicious prosecution, excessive force, allowed those to continue through the lower court, the district court. So that's kind of where we are now, is that this lawsuit is still going on in the district court, but the appeals court came along, a couple of weeks ago and basically said, hey, look, a portion of Judge Gwynn's ruling, we're going to uphold that and that can continue on. Another portion of it, we don't necessarily agree with what he said under the law, so we're going to dismiss certain accusations against certain officers. The city of Elyria, Police Chief Dwayne Whiteley had previously been dismissed from this suit for other various, reasons and technical reasons under the law. But you're dealing with this issue kind of overall of what's called qualified immunity. And basically that says that at certain times, if they're not otherwise allegedly violating a constitutional right that you have, like to freedom from, from improper search and seizure or excessive force or, improper arrest, things like that. Officers, when they do certain things, have certain, have certain immunity from being sued. So that's kind of the overall theme that we have here, is that there are some issues that you can't sue the police for. But there are other issues that you can And that'll be decided, you know, in federal court when Mr. Jones's suit, you know, continues on. A little complicated, not the most, not all the most complicated, of the legal issues that we've dealt with this past week. But an interesting case that we're going to continue following on.
No question about that. A little confusing indeed, but again, that's why you're there, to follow this bad boy and continue along the trail and staying with issues going on in the courtroom. What are some of the details on the early stages of this double murder trial involving a Lorain man who's accused of murdering a married couple in Elyria back in 2016?
Again, here's a case that's been going through the courts for about 4 years now, and Jacquez Ross, otherwise known as Jock, had allegedly, back in January of 2016, shot and killed Michael and Fanny Lewis as they were sitting in a rented car on Fox Hill Lane. He's been held in the jail on $2 million bond. I mean, that's where he continues to be. But this week, his trial started up in Judge Christopher Rothkerry's court. And basically, at this moment, there's not a heck of a lot going on, than the very important work of picking a jury. Now, that's not exactly, fascinating reading necessarily. I mean, it's a lot of questions about, do you feel comfortable, would you impose the death penalty if the judge said you had to? Or, do you feel comfortable following the law? Do you have any relationship to this case? Kind of normal, normal jury selection, what they call the voir dire questions. So a lot of that's what's going on right now. So that should go on for the better part of this coming week. Each day, the judge is... And the attorneys are asking about 16 potential jurors, 8 in the morning and 8 in the afternoon, kind of doing individual voir dire questions. Are you comfortable with this? Are you not comfortable with that? Do you have any problems? Would you have any problems at work? If you had to be on, hearing this case. So that's going to be continuing on through the better part of the week, and then we'll have opening statements, and then the jury will eventually get to go see the location of where this happened, or a jury view. Is what they call it in court parlance. Kind of continuing to follow on that case as well. Real interesting yesterday, real quick. There's a witness who apparently is not really excited to be a witness. So she said that she was going to, through her attorney, she said that she was going to take the fifth if she was asking any questions on the stand. And the judge went ahead and ruled after some argument that that basically statements that she made that might have been considered hearsay, which is not usually allowed in court. You can't say, "Oh, well, I saw Bull do this thing," but if nobody else saw it and it's not on video, it's, that's hearsay. That's not necessarily allowed in court. One of the exemptions is called something called forfeiture by wrongdoing. And that says that if a defendant allegedly, committed some sort of misconduct, like tried to tamper with a witness or killed a witness or otherwise, influenced a witness to not testify, and then that person won't get up on the stand or is not available to get up on the stand because either they're dead or they're threatened or they fled the jurisdiction, that you can use statements they made previous, which would normally be hearsay, in a court of law. One of the exemptions to that law, and that was something that I kind of had to wrap my head around. But again, that's what I'm there to do for our fine readers out there in Lorain County. So that was interesting. So that was his testimony. Even if she gets up there and pleads the fifth, the prosecution can use some of her previous statements in Mr. Ross's prosecution. So I'll continue to follow on that and keep you updated about what's going on. ChronicleT.com or in the Chronicle Telegram print edition.
Good stuff. Again, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. We're going to get out of the courtroom, and we're going to talk about a project that is expected to be done, hopefully by the end of the calendar year. They're targeting perhaps Thanksgiving time, and we've talked a little bit about this before. It's the Chestnut Commons project with the connector road going all the way up to Broad Street there by Turnus. Now, apparently, there is no more roundabout as a part of this plan, which I thought was kind of interesting because that seemed to bring out the most amount of complaints because people aren't used to roundabouts around here. So I think there are a lot of people that are pretty excited about the fact that there is no more roundabout here.
Yeah, RIP to the roundabout plan that was going to be there at Turnus and Broad Street. There was some concern, even from members of City Council who said, we're not used to roundabouts, and we think a lot of people are going to be, you know, confused by this. And that's kind of one of those traffic calming, productions that they've been trying to do a lot more of in Ohio, you know, in the past few years. I know if anybody's driven in portions of Stark County and in Jackson Township in Stark County, right there, just north of Canton or around North Canton, there's quite a few of these. There have been some in Portage County where I used to work, in other places, in Summit County. And it's just a means of kind of keeping traffic flowing without having that stop and start that you get from traffic signals. Now, basically, the reason that this roundabout is not going to be there anymore in this particular plan is, according to reporting from my colleague Lana Yost, who was at the meeting the other night, city engineer John Schneider basically said that to put in a roundabout was going to cost a lot more money on a real short timetable, and basically there's some right of way issues. The city would have had to buy more property essentially in order to make this in order to realize this roundabout. So there will just be traffic signals there. So you'll have a little bit more of a cross or of a T. Right there at Turnus and Broad Street, and then on the Chestnut Commons connector. A reminder, as you said, this is from the rear of Walmart in the south through some old farmland that was not developed up to Broad Street, and all along that corridor, you're going to have property that's now opened up to development, basically a little more commercial development, it looks like. One of the people who's kind of the driving factors behind this is Dan Reeser and DBR Commercial Realty. A lot of people know him from his hunting supply and outdoor supply company, and he's really excited about this. He's going to put his new facility back there. Told me at one point he's hiring many dozens more people to operate his business back there, and you might get to see some more doctor's offices or fast food restaurants or small warehouses, small manufacturing or shipping or just other businesses. And that's one chunk of the city that was not open for development that is now going to be open for development. Total cost of all this, edging up on $6 million. We're looking at about $5.7 million to make this connector road a reality. And it's just one more way that city council has said, look, we need to fix the traffic problems when you're trying to get there, when you're trying to turn in or turn out of Chestnut Commons with, the Burger King and the Taco Bell. And again, doctor's offices, the BMV, Walmart down there at the end, trying to calm that traffic down there at that intersection by giving you another route in. Also, the fire department's really looking forward to this because they won't have to fight the traffic if there's ever an emergency. EMS won't have to fight the traffic. Police won't have to necessarily fight the traffic. They have another route in. What you can't build is something off of 57 yet because the state and the city still haven't gotten around to figuring out just how you might put a drive off of that road right there into Chestnut Commons. There's right-of-way issues, there's environmental issues, there's wetlands, that kind of thing. So this is the first best option that exists at this point. So we'll again, Lena and myself will continue to work on that as we can, but for right now they're looking to have it started in April and hopefully finished by October.
Good stuff. Well, I know it'll make a lot of people happy at those high traffic hours because apparently it gets pretty loaded up back there.
I get caught out there too. I've been caught out there many a time, so understood. I know what it's like.
Understood. Well, it's time for you to share some of these golden scanner stories. There's a KFC out there at Chestnut Commons, and that was the big topic the last time we spoke of scanner stories because there was a story about a married couple who was out on a date. And they were at KFC, and they saw some guy getting rowdy. They took care of business. That was the highlight of last week's scanner story. So what kind of good stuff do you have for us this week?
Well, something I think everybody, maybe not today with the warmer temperatures, but something I think everybody can get behind. hashtag scanner for the win. Subject is walking barefoot through the snow. He seems agitated. Unquote.
Well, if you're walking barefoot through the snow, my guess is you're going to be extremely agitated and maybe a little bit cold as well, right?
I would imagine so. I think that's your proper footwear is important in these snowier climbs, and that's I think I would be agitated too if I was walking barefoot in the snow.
Yes, indeed. Dave, a pleasure as always, my friend. We enjoy having you here in studio. We will do this again next week.
Good to be here, Bull. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram. Joining us on the local beat, it's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street right across from the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry. And if you stop by, you'll see why.